today as we come to the table.
You're a fragrance of Christ to both of them. You're being a testimony. You're being a witness. But notice it goes on and says, to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? And why is to one life and one to one death? Because to one that receives Christ, we just gave them the aroma and message of life. But the one who rejects Jesus Christ, the aroma of death. He says, who's sufficient for this? In other words, what an awesome responsibility we have. Do you realize what a powerful position you have right now, eternally? Recognize that. You're in a position where you can declare to someone life or eternal death.
Have you ever been in a position where you could determine someone's future? In today's message, Pastor Mark says that if you're a believer, you've been in that position. You see, we have the ability to determine life and death for someone. If they don't hear the gospel, they will spend eternity without God. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. When we share the gospel, we allow God to do what He wants with their life. Your job as a believer is to share the gospel with everyone. You are dealing with a matter of eternal life with the Father or not. When you share the gospel, people are given the choice to follow or not, and He is able to start a change in their life. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 40 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
They both were responsible for what the king ingested. And so it might very well be that one of them had been accused of trying to kill the king. Maybe someone had tasted the bread. Maybe someone had had a drink of the wine before the king and they dropped dead. Obviously, they didn't that one, as we'll see in a moment, but maybe the bread, whatever the case might be. And so the king was trying to find out what was going on. Somebody had offended. Again, we don't know what the offense was. It doesn't tell us. But if it was indeed a poisoning, they obviously didn't know who it was. And so both of them were locked up. So they put them away until we know what's going on. So they locked him up and put them both away. Now, conventional wisdom would, of course, say the butler did it. But actually, in this case, it was the baker. So we can't rely on conventional wisdom. Maybe that wasn't started by then. But either way, they were both thrown in prison. And notice this. Look at this. Verse 4. And the captain of the guard. Note that. I have that underlined. Charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And so they were in custody for a while. Now, who's the captain of the guard? Well, if you remember back in chapter 39, verse 1, the Bible reveals the captain of the guard is none other than Potiphar. And now we see Potiphar. Remember, he was the chief executioner. He would have been the one ultimately over all the executions or the tortures that went on in the Egyptian realm. And now we see Potiphar once again taking Joseph, his one-time trusted slave, and making him a trusted slave again inside the prison, giving him authority and putting him over the two high officials that were put in prison. It would be as if a couple of congressmen were thrown in there and some regular prisoner that was in there that didn't have any position was now over them. Potiphar gives him this position. Now, why do I find this extremely interesting? Because again, Potiphar was not only allowing Joseph to live, he gave him a position of authority and trusted him again with these political prisoners until the truth could be found out. What does that say about how Potiphar viewed Joseph? You see, remember I mentioned last time or a couple of times ago that I don't believe that Potiphar thought Joseph really did anything. I think he realized his wife was just a bad woman and he had to save face, he had to make a move, and he put Joseph in prison. But I believe we see that he trusted Joseph. And that he still realized that Joseph was an innocent man. He at least no doubt was believing that Joseph, there was some question in his mind or he wouldn't have put him in this position. And he puts him as captain over the guard of these two people in position. But again, notice the loyalness and the faithfulness of Joseph again. This amazes me. Rather than going, yeah, Potiphar, I mean, you could say, well, he had no choice. Well, that's true. And he would have had to. And maybe from fear would have. But what we're going to find about Joseph is Joseph did it with a good heart. Joseph didn't show up and say, yeah, I'll do it because I have to. But I knew what you did to me, and right? He served them. Notice Joseph served them. Again, remember what we always said we're going to see about Joseph throughout his life? He's a servant. And remember what the Bible says is a sign of true leadership and greatness? Servanthood. Jesus said, I've come to serve, not to be served. And everywhere we see Joseph, he's serving, even in prison. Now, if there was ever a time not to serve and complain, it's now. And yet Joseph makes the best of it. He says, I'm going to serve. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And I'm going to take this place, this pit that God has put me in, and I'm going to simply serve with the best of my ability and the best of my heart, and I'll trust in God to work out the details. And again, a true sign of greatness. But it's interesting, you know, I think this sign of greatness, he was not only willing to serve, but he was a true servant at heart. You know, I've seen people that are willing to serve for position. You ever seen that? If they find out that serving will get them position, they'll start serving. But how much better it is to find someone that simply serves when there's no expectation. They just want to serve. They're just a servant heart. That's a person that God can use in true greatness. And that's what the Bible calls true greatness. Joseph was that kind of man. Notice this. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt who were confined in the prison had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, each man's dream according to its own interpretation. Again, remember one of the things that God did through Joseph's life was interpret dreams. And so obviously this was a divine setup. It won't result in Joseph's release at this time, but it will result in his release at a later time. God was simply setting the stage. And note that God will oftentimes do things while we're in the midst of the pit that we think, this is it. I'm going to get out of the pit. But God doesn't always release us right then. He's setting the stage for when we'll be released later. And now the stage is being set for Joseph to be released at a later time in God's own timing. And notice Joseph came into them in the morning and he looked at them and he saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? Now you would think they'd look sad every day, wouldn't you? What do you mean, why do I look so sad today? I'm in prison. You know, why are you not sad, Joseph? Again, because Joseph understood that God was at work in his life. He was able to take the situation he was in and have a countenance that wasn't always overwhelming because he knew that God was working. And so, again, he not only did he serve them, notice this other characteristic about Joseph that is a true characteristic of a leader and one that God can use in greatness, and that is not only did he serve those that God put him over, he cared about them. He didn't just do his duty. He saw they were sad, and he went to them. He said, I see your countenance has changed. Let's talk. What's going on? What's wrong? There was a heartfelt care and desire in Joseph's heart. And notice, he was growing in love. He was growing in care for those that God put over him. And I think that's important for us as leaders and those that God gives us, no matter what the position we're in, to say, God, grow me. Help me to love the people better. Help me to have greater oversight of them. And that's exactly what Joseph was doing. He recognized they were sad. And he went to them and he spoke to them. What's wrong? And notice verse 8, and they said to him, well, we've each had a dream and there's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Now notice, although Joseph is the one doing the verbal interpretation, look who gives the credit. He says, God's the one that's going to do this. Now here's another characteristic about Joseph that we need to have, that we need to pray for God to give us, and that is whatever giftings and talents and abilities we have, who gave them to us? God did. So we have to recognize God is the one that gave them and God is the one that's working in our life. This is not a false humility. You know, I've seen that false humility thing before, you know, where somebody, you know, does something and you say, hey, that was neat. God really used you. Well, I just want you to know it's all the Lord, you know, and, you know, this kind of thing. But you can almost tell that it's not really from the heart. It's like they've learned that's the thing to say and they do it. It's much different just to say, you know what, God is good. Praise the Lord. Glad he did something. You know, sometimes people come up and they say, wow, you know what, service was really great today. I'm like, really? Where'd you go? You know, type thing. And because sometimes to me, it's like, am I connecting at all? But here's what I have to remember. God's word is what does the work, isn't it? Our job is simply to give God's word out and say, God, you work in the heart. And sometimes we can't see what God's doing and God's doing a great work. But Joseph had a proper understanding of his giftings and abilities. And he realized it's not me. It's not my own abilities. It's what God is doing through me. And so we have to recognize this. It's God at work in us. It's not us. Our abilities and our gifts come from the Lord. And so we use them for his glory. And the chief butler then told him his dream. And he said, behold, in my dream, there was a vine before me. And in the vine, there were three branches. And it was though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. And then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. In other words, he was once again doing his duty before Pharaoh in his dream. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you. And I understand this plea. Notice, remember me when it goes well, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. In other words, just if you could return the favor, remember that I've done this. Now, note this, there's nothing wrong in wanting to be out of the pit. Joseph wasn't in wrong desiring to be out of the pit. When we get in the pit, who doesn't want to get out? We want to get out. There's nothing wrong in that. But it's realizing that God's timing is not always our timing. And God knows the perfect timing to release us from the pit, to put us in the pit, to move us from one thing to the next. And yet Joseph here again saying, look, if you could just remember me when you come to this place, you know, and make mention of me to Pharaoh. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and also I've done nothing here that I should be put into this dungeon. And again, the word here is pit, that I should be put into this pit. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, well, I also have had a dream. And he goes on to tell his dream. Now, again, let me just say, first of all, before we look at his dream, this was a logical and understandable request by Joseph since he was so near to Pharaoh. And we're going to see this guy forgets him. And I want to say that in all fairness, it would be a hard spot for the butler to be in that most everyone you meet in prison says they're innocent, you know? If you've ever talked to anybody in prison or done any prison ministry or shared with, you know, heard them on TV, they all say they're innocent. So here's another one. This butler's down there. And Joseph says, I'm innocent. I've done nothing wrong. Remember me. So I can understand to a degree here him saying, you know what? Everybody says they're innocent, you know, and it's you're just, you know, you may even be sorry, but usually they're sorry they got caught. Not sorry to the type of repentance that they can be out of. So again, you know, Joseph here is saying, hey, you know, just remember me, but I understand a little bit here where this guy's coming from, you know, because he's saying, you know, I don't know whether you're the real McCoy or not, but we're going to see that he does remember him later on. And now the baker hears that the interpretation was good. Notice he says, let me tell you mine. He says, there were 3 white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and all the birds ate them out of the basket of my head, or rather on my head. And so Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The 3 baskets are 3 days. So far, so good. Just as he had the 3 days, you've got the 3 days. And notice this, it gets worse. He says, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. It's like, ah, this is like a nightmare interpretation. Notice he tells the butler he'll lift your head up. He says to the baker, he'll lift your head off. Very, very clear difference here. I think we know who the guilty party is now in this whole situation, don't we? But again, just because the butler's interpretation was good didn't mean his would be. And again, this is quite a difference here. He's going to be executed. And notice he says they're going to cut your head off and hang you on a tree. Literally, it meant to be impaled on a pole is literally what it says. And what they would do is they would impale the body on a pole after cutting off the head and just let the birds do away with you. And so a very gruesome thing. Of course, you'd already be dead before that, but the whole idea of it was so gruesome. And it's interesting because in the Egyptian culture at this time, a lack of burial and being eaten by birds meant that even in the next life, you wouldn't be blessed or have rest. So this was a huge punishment he was giving. So obviously, whatever he had done that had upset the Pharaoh, it was a serious deal. And it's interesting here to me when he gives these interpretations of the dream, notice that Joseph simply told him the truth. Now, I have to admit, if I was Joseph, it would have been tempting to soften it for this guy. I would have said, you know, are you sitting down? Maybe he was already sitting down. I would say, look, I hate to tell you this. They're going to cut your head off in 3 days. They're going to stick your body on a pole and birds are going to eat your flesh away. That's not exactly something that's easy to tell someone. And especially, you better make sure it's God, because if the guy gets out and gets back to his position, he's going to remember you. And yet Joseph didn't sway. You know, here's the thing, guys, I want to encourage us all. When it comes to telling people the truth, I'm not saying we don't use tact, but don't soften the truth, especially when there are those that are facing life and death situations. If you're with someone and you know they're on the way to eternal separation from God, you need to be honest. I'm not saying, again, yell at them and you're going to hell. But say, you know what? The Bible says that all who don't receive Jesus Christ will be eternally condemned. And if you don't repent and turn to the Lord, you're going to be separated from ever. And it's not just being separated. The Bible says there's an eternal lake of fire. Is that where you really want to go? Now, that's a lot easier just to say, you know what? You really need to give your life to the Lord because he really wants you to. That's easier, isn't it? Notice Joseph didn't soften it. Joseph said they're going to cut your head off and stick you on a pole. Again, to one it was good news, to one it was bad, to one it meant life, to one it meant death. But either way, he simply stated the truth. And that's exactly what we have to do when it comes to the gospel, is state the truth and let God sort out the details. Now again, it's interesting here. To one, the message of Jesus was life, and to another, the message of Jesus is death. Isn't that interesting? How could the message of Jesus be death to some? That is, if they reject it. Notice this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 declares this, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." So either way, we are a fragrance of Christ. When you enter the room, you've got some that are going to be saved, you've got some that are going to be lost. But you're a fragrance of Christ to both of them. You're being a testimony, you're being a witness. But notice it goes on and says, "To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things?" And why is to one life and one to one death? Because to one that receives Christ, we just gave them the aroma and message of life. But the one who rejects Jesus Christ, the aroma of death. He says, who's sufficient for this? In other words, what an awesome responsibility we have. Do you realize what a powerful position you have right now, eternally? Recognize that. You're in a position where you can declare to someone life or eternal death. God passes the judgment, but you declare it. And he says, who's sufficient for these things? And so Joseph lays it out there. And again, not easy to say, but Joseph told the truth. And notice it says in verse 20, it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to him. Now, it's interesting. Birthdays were traditionally a time they would show clemency. They would take prisoners that maybe were right on the edge, maybe some that hadn't done something so bad, or maybe they weren't sure about their sentence, and they would bring them up out of prison, and the Pharaoh would decide, hey, am I going to release these guys or not? I'm feeling good. It's my birthday, and so maybe I'll let you go, and maybe I won't, and we'll kind of see what I feel like. But it was an encouraging day for a prisoner if they were called before Pharaoh, because it could mean they were going to get out. And so no doubt the chief butler and the chief baker, they get out, and no doubt they're apprehensive about what's going to happen. Is this strange man's interpretation, in prison, is it going to really come to pass? What's going to happen? And they stand before him, and one of them, of course, gets exonerated, and one of them is, even as he said, notice he's hanged, the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to him in the dream. So again, one surefire way to know whether or not it's a proper interpretation is if it comes to pass. And no doubt the baker realized this is a proper interpretation, although he didn't like it. But here's what's amazing. Before we get to this last verse, the butler knew that it was the right interpretation as well. But notice what he does. Look at verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. I don't think it means he didn't remember in the sense of that guy down in the prison that told me what was going to happen. I think it means he just let it go. Now, you could say, come on, look what Joseph did for you. How could you do this to him? Say something to the Pharaoh. Let him know about this amazing man who interpreted a dream and it came to pass. Could this be a normal, common prisoner? Certainly not. And no doubt Joseph was down there waiting, going, any day now. Have you heard the news, Joseph? What? Yeah, you remember the two guys you were watching in prison? Yeah, the butler and the baker. Yeah. Well, Pharaoh called him up. I know that. He called him up. What happened? You're not going to believe it. Try me. The baker, he cut his head off and impaled him on a pole. Really? Yeah. And the butler, he's got his job back. He's now before the king again, giving him his drink again. Really? Thank you. Thank you for the news. You can imagine, in my mind, I can see Joseph pacing back and forth in his cell saying, this is it, God. You knew that I was here wrongfully. You knew that I shouldn't be in this pit. Finally relieved. Thank you, God. You've heard my cries. You've answered my call any day now. And as one day went by and 2 days went by and a week went by and a month went by, and we're going to see at the start of next chapter, 2 years went by. What was Joseph thinking? Lord, I thought for sure you were going to get me. You even used me. You still have your anointing on me, even in this pit. Lord, I was able to interpret their dreams. I know that was you. That's not in me. Lord, why am I still here? And it's amazing, again, during that 2-year period, again, we don't know for sure what happened, but we don't hear of any grumbling or complaining, only Joseph waiting on the Lord. And what a lesson that is for us, to wait on the Lord, even when we think we're going to get out, we're going to be released. It's learning to wait on the Lord. And again, this would have been one of the saddest verses in Joseph's life had it not been for God's viewpoint in this particular situation and understanding it. Why? Because we'd say, oh, how sad, Joseph didn't get out. But guys, note this again, God's timing is not our timing. God's timing is perfect, our timing is flawed. God's view is eternal, our view is limited. Had God released Joseph at that time, he no doubt would have gone back to Canaan and you never would have had the rescue of the nation of Israel as Joseph, as the second most powerful leader in the world. In other words, if we beg God to give us our way and God gives it to us, what are we missing if we'll just sit in the pit and say, I trust you. And in your timing, you get me out of this pit. And because Joseph trusted in the Lord and didn't whine or complain or beg, whatever the case might be, God in his timing raised him up not only out of the pit, but as we said earlier, put him on the mountaintop as the second most powerful leader in the arguably the world. And then God took Joseph from that position and used him to rescue his entire family and really the world of that day. As God gave him wisdom and he stored aside the grain, as we're going to see all that Joseph did. And again, if Joseph had gotten his way and gotten out sooner, you know, how bad it would have been. You know, my girls, and I'm sure those of you that have kids, you know, sometimes your kids will beg you for things. You ever know you tell them no because you know what's best? Why, please, why, please, right? I wonder how many of us are that way with the Lord. Because I think, Lord, you know, if the girls would just trust their dad, I know what's best for them. I know this is not the right thing. If they would just trust them, and sometimes I'll give them my permissible will. My highest will is that I know what's best for them. So I say, just no, we're not going to do that. But there's a permissible will. All right, the no is not so firm that I won't allow you some levity there, but it's not going to be the best for you. So, okay, go ahead. And then they miss out on the full blessing they would have had because they got dad's permissible allowance from begging. You know, God's been convicting me. How many times have I gone before the Lord and said, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. And God says, it's not the best. I've heard your request. There it is. Now, are you going to trust me? I do, kind of. Please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. And I think sometimes God in my life has said, all right, that wasn't my highest, but I'll allow that, but you're going to miss out. If you would just trust me and wait, I have something so much better for you, but I'll let you do it because you're begging so bad, but I wish you'd trust me. I'm in a place where, you know, I want to say to the Lord, I want to say, notice that. I didn't say I could always say it. I want to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to lay it out before you because the Bible says make your request known to God, but I'm going to trust in you from that point on and what you're going to do. You know, guys, as we end today, you know, do you feel forgotten? And like your life's in a pit, do you? Man may forget you, but rest assured the Lord never will, ever, no matter what we feel like. And sometimes I feel forgotten. We're never forgotten. He's aware of our situation, although it may be a long delay in relief. But God has a reason and a plan. It may be that if God removed you from the situation right now, although hard, it would stop short of God's eternal and divine plan. And once we grasp this and understand that what God has is much greater than what we want, we can learn to wait on the Lord. Let's do it today. Let's right now take it to the altar. Let's say, Lord, I'm just going to slide it right up to you. And whatever you do, you do. You're the Lord. And I'm going to trust you, but you're going to have to give me grace because I can't do this without your grace.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis. The next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.